If you don't like it, holler no. It won't bother me. Because you see, I know who I am. I didn't have nothing to do with this up here. I didn't. You didn't have nothing to do with you either. It's amazing how we look at one another and say, this was important and this was not important. Bo Hunk. Each wonderful gift, each gift of God is important. Jesus looks at all mankind through the cross, sacrifice. Now, when I began to give away food in my restaurant, I really thought I was doing something big. I thought everybody would really appreciate it, and it was the biggest joke in town. I became the laughing stock of Pensacola, Florida. And not only on top of that, when people started to come in and eat and walking out laughing at me, I got upset at it. I said, Lord, these people are taking advantage of me. He said, welcome to the club. I said, you know, I don't like this. He said, I didn't either. I said, they're abusing the privilege. He said, I know. I said, well, I don't like this. I was really upset. You know what I discovered in being upset? That I was selfish. I never knew I was selfish. And all of a sudden, God is starting to pull this long string, this horrible rope of selfishness out of my heart. And after that, he pulled and pulled and pulled. And after a while, I said, Lord, you got it all. He said, I ain't even started yet. And I'll tell every one of you in here tonight, when you pick up the collection, you probably thought about your wallet, looked at the money, said, well, I really ought to give this, but I'll give this. I had one guy come up to me one night in tears, begging for me to forgive him. He said, you know, every time I ever come to a meeting, I always leave my wallet in the car so I won't have to give nothing. I said, oh, that's the reason the collections are so thin. That's the reason we only get $1 bills. They just put two in their pocket, and that's all tonight. It's amazing. We didn't bring nothing into this world, and we're not leaving with anything, yet we're in charge of everything. You ain't in charge of nothing. There's not one thing that you ever been able to change in your whole life except yourself. And the only change that we should acquire is having the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ, putting on his mind. And my dear brothers and sisters, it says the road of putting on his mind, it's difficult, it's very hard, it's straight, it's narrow, and few will ever force themselves into that attitude. But I'm absolutely convinced that the church is supposed to have the attitude. I'm absolutely convinced that the baptized and the confirmed, I'm absolutely convinced of us that go and receive the body and the blood, the marvelous gift of the thanksgiving of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm convinced that we've got to make ourselves, we have to force ourselves into this marvelous attitude of Jesus. Amen. That's a struggle. I'll tell you today, I still struggle with it. The struggle is never over till this hunk of sorry flesh lays down and goes back to the dirt. The battle is still raging up here. The old devil is constantly saying, man, you've worked hard enough. You've been going to this thing 13 years. Why don't you take a break? I said, get out of here, you devil. There ain't no such thing as a break. Where's there? Folks, do we live forever? We do. If we believe in Jesus, that I'll live forever. There is no death for those that are in Christ. Now we brought this flesh off, this old tent. Some of us got some big tents. Some of us got little tents. But whether it's big or little, it's going to drop. Some of us got tall tents. And some of the tents are short. But they're all dropping. But our spirit has life forever. Whether it's in God or out of God, doesn't make any difference. It lives forever. Because when Jesus went to the cross, what did he do? He destroyed what?
Death.
He destroyed it. So I can tell every one of you in here that when you leave this flesh, it'll be like a twinkling of an eye. Bang, you're out. Bang, you're in, and bang, you're out. A lot of them already banged in and banged out since I've been preaching here over the last 11 years. Looks like a whole bunch of you fixing to get the bang out any day now. Amen. And we still hanging on. Oh, I ain't ready to go yet, you know. Another vacation in Florida before I get out of here, you know. Your attitude must be that of God, of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world. You know the world is Rose. You know that she was made out of the world, out of the dirt. Didn't we just have Ash Wednesday not long ago, Father? I remember going through the airport hollering, "The day gets your ashes." I said, "Oh boy, it's the day they're going to remind me that I'm going to die. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. That's where you came from and that's where you're going." And we all get ashes. We walk around all day with those things on our head. Telling everybody, "I'm dying. Yoo-hoo. I'm out of here. I got my ashes so I can tell everybody I'm out of here." They said, "You're leaving today?" I said, "I don't know." Very well could be. I know not the hour nor the day. Amen. It's amazing. When you begin to force, now folks, this is something that we have to make ourselves do. I don't want you to think that this is easy, to have the attitude of Christ. It's not easy. But what you'll discover about yourself when you begin to take his attitude is that you're a selfish, egotistical maniac. You're looking at one. Don't ring back to say this, because you're looking at one. A self-made idiot. Everything that I've ever done was for me. When I began to take on the mind of Christ, I had to look at everybody totally different than I'd ever seen them before. I had to look at Rose and not say, "What can I get out of Rose? What can I do to help Rose?" And the greatest thing that I can do for Rose, and I think this is probably the first time I've ever met her, the greatest thing that I can ever do for Rose is to live a witness, a light that she can see in me and hear out of me, an attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ that will help her in her walk. The greatest witness that we can give to the world is having the attitude of Christ. Now, you can begin tonight to force yourself into this attitude. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. How many of you tonight have faith? Raise your hand. Let's see how many of you really believe that Jesus is God. Raise your hand. All right. They told me that I only got an hour tonight, so I'm going to conclude with this particular part. Because as I began to give away my food, I discovered within myself, not in somebody else, I discovered that I had no faith at all. It's what I discovered about me. It's not what I discovered about you. Because you see, I can't walk your walk. I can only walk my walk. You know, when I go to God, you're not going to be, Father Farthruel is not going to be with me when I walk before God. He's going to have to walk up there right by himself, naked as a jaybird. I won't be with him. And he won't be with me. I'll walk right up there, right just before him, naked as a jaybird, stripped of all of my intellect, all of my ability, all of my resources, everything that I've accumulated on this earth. I will be stripped of it. The only thing that I won't be stripped of is the love of God that he's put in my heart toward you. That won't be stripped. Love is forever. Amen. So when I began to really get into this, I wanted to know what faith was more than anything else. Now, I'd gone through the Nicene Creed. I tore that thing apart. I went upside down in it, and we're really going to get into this tomorrow night. Now, you've heard it before, but I listen to it 2 or 3 times a week. And I'm convinced that if I don't look at my faith every single day, I'll begin to stumble. I've got to look at it constantly. You remember James said, the man that looks in the mirror, he can see clearly who he is. But the minute you turn away, you can't see no more. I've got to constantly be looking in the mirror of my faith, in the mirror of the Word, in the attitude of Christ, if I'm to walk the walk. I can't look in your mirror. And our biggest problem is we like to look in other people's mirror. You ain't walking right. We like to get very judgmental. I'm not allowed to do that. I'm only allowed to walk in this vessel and help you in yours. I wanted to know about faith. I wanted to understand faith more than anything else. I did some really crazy stuff when I first got started. After giving away everything that I owned, went through the restaurant, 2 years of giving away food, never went broke. It's amazing what God can do when you start giving. It's incredible. In fact, our restaurant, we had to build on to it because we had people lined up for blocks coming for free food. Y'all want to start instant successful business? Start giving away things. People come get it. And I got so strong in it that I gave away the restaurant. I said, hey, you can have it. Give away. I said, you can have it all. I had become a giant. Now, understand, I want the attitude of Christ, and I desire faith more than anything else. And I really don't know too much about faith, other than faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word. And now it's impossible to please God without faith, since I must believe that He exists, and He rewards those that are trying to find Him. And only faith can guarantee me the blessing that I hope for and prove the existence of the reality that present remains unseen. Now, I didn't understand all those passages of Scripture. I heard them quoted. People talk about them all the time, but I didn't understand them. And I wanted to understand them. How much time do I have? Oh, geez, listen to this. Thank you, brother. His brother's hearing over here. He don't want to shut his hearing down. I got 10 minutes. All right. Well, maybe I can do this in 10 minutes. I'll rush through and try. After I had, for 3 years, walked in this marvelous gift of giving, and God showed me that it's a gift, giving is a gift. Jesus came to give. God so loved the world that He gave. He didn't take, He gave. His most precious possession. Himself. He gave. And 3 years into this, I said, boy, I'm on my way. I'm in faith. I said, I'm going to preach this all over the world. Went down to the airport, took flying lessons, got me an airplane, and here I'm flying around just preaching away. Came to the airport one day, my plane's gone. I said, where's my airplane? Oh, it was sitting right over there. I said, it ain't there no more. We looked everywhere, and it's gone. And I made this statement. If I find a sucker that stole God's plane, he'll never steal again. I will put him away. The phone rang in the office of the airport, and they called me to the phone. See, God, when you're really hungry to know the truth, God will put you in a position to learn. And it's always through trials and tribulations that you learn. And when the trials and tribulations come, Jesus said, many fall very quickly. We fall away when the trials and the tribulations come. Well, I knew that. But I didn't know what trials and tribulations were. I thought it was earthquakes and famines and things. I didn't know that somebody stealing my airplane was a trial and tribulation. And so this guy said, is your plane missing? I said, it is. He said, would you like to know who's got it? I said, are you telling? He said, I am. I said, I'd like to know. He told me, and I went and looked, and there it was. I said, that rascal's on his way to the hoofscow. I mean, I'm putting him away. Because it was an automatic 10-year sentence. If we could catch anybody stealing an airplane and prove it, and we had the proof, it was automatic. All it was the formality of just going to jail for 10 years. State of Florida has that law. I went on my way to the sheriff's department, and on the way, these little thoughts began to rush into me, and these were the thoughts. Charlie, I thought all things were made through me. Back to my creed. Back to my position. Back to the very thing that I was desiring to know was faith. All things were made through me. I said, okay, Lord, you made all things. He said, well, if I made that up, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to put the rascal in jail. He stole my plane. He said, I thought it was my plane. I said, but I don't have one. He stole it. He said, Charlie, if it's my plane, I wouldn't put him in jail. You know, I never can find where Jesus put anybody in jail or where he ever sued anybody. I can't find it. He was full of mercy and what? Grace. Full of mercy. Full of mercy. Forgiving, forgiving, forgiving. And I said, Lord, no wonder you have trouble getting people to work for you. You see, when you are confronted with having the mind of Christ, it's totally against everything that I'd ever learned. I turned the car around, went back to the airport and said, I'm sorry, I can't lock him up. And you know what the world said to me? The world will always try to defer you from the wall. They said, Charlie, if you don't put him in jail, he'll steal again. I said, he won't steal mine because I don't have one. He might steal yours, he ain't going to steal mine. How many of you remember the Beatitude, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted? You know, I didn't know what mourn. I thought mourning was at funerals. You know, you go see a guy check out. I thought that was mourning. No, when somebody steals your airplane and God tells you not to ask for it back, you'll mourn. Your flesh will grieve. You will hurt. So now, out of that, here's what came. Galatians 5:6 says, what matters is faith that manifests its power felt through love. Now, we'll spend a lot of time in the next 3 days on that. The power of faith, the power of the Word, the power of God, it's love. I discovered that love is a sacrifice. The agape, the willingness to suffer without striking back. The man stole my plane. And in my faith, in my heart, God wanted me to treat him the way God had treated me. Now, the only way I knew that he stole it, because I was a thief myself. I would have never known he stole it if I loved him the way God did. And it was an airplane. I'd say, brother, you know, you can fly it as long as you want. I don't need it no more. God will give me another one. If I really believe. So, what matters is faith that produces love. If it's God's love, it's a sacrificial love. It'll put up with the ungodly and the ungrateful. Those that are wicked and ungrateful, God loves them. Matthew 5, Luke 6, read it. The Sermon on the Mount. God is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked, to the thief, to those that will steal. God's kind to them. Now, if God is kind to me, then I must be kind to them. Folks, you will force yourself to do that. There's not a one of you in here that'll enjoy do that. Not one of them. I've never enjoyed it. I've never got Holy Ghost bumps when I surrender things like that. Never. Now, in Corinthians 13, it says this, and I'll just read this to you, because this is what love, this is the way you can identify love. For all you that have faith. Now, remember when I said, how many of you have faith? You all raised your hand. Faith in God. Now, this is what faith will produce in your life. If you've got faith in God, this is the way that people will know you are a Christian. This is the way they will know you've got faith in God. It said, love is always patient with your wife. Love is always patient with your priest. Folks, y'all know what patience is? Think about what patience is. If somebody's doing something wrong, what would patience do? It'd be patient. Wouldn't it? Think about patience. Do you know when I was raised, I used to hear this, patience is a virtue. And it is. It's power. Folks, if you've got patience, then you're walking in faith. You're believing in God. You're walking in the love of God. You've got the attitude of Jesus. Jesus is patient with the whole world, or he'd kill every stinking one of us. Amen. God is patient with me, then I must be patient with my brother, Rennie. I've got to be patient with him. And he may do things that I don't like. That doesn't give me a right to condemn him or criticize him. It only gives me a right to forgive him. To be patient with him. Love is always. Let's all say always.
Always.
You know the word Catholic means all? What it means. All, everything. 2 minutes. If I run over, will y'all forgive me? Love is patient. Love is kind. Now think about this with your relationship with people every day, especially the ungrateful and the wicked. Can we be kind to them? Can I be kind to those that aren't kind? It's easy to be kind to those that are kind. But can I be kind to someone that's not kind to me? If I've got faith in God and I'm operating in Him, if I've got His attitude, I will force myself, I will make myself be kind to you. I'll make myself do it. I used to think that was being hypocritical. Well, let them know where I stand. That's no faith in that, folks. That's not Jesus. He said, listen to this. Love is never jealous. All you mamas, love is never jealous. You papas that are jealous over you wives, that's the most horrendous spirit you can carry, a spirit of jealousy. It is not jealous over position of honor. It is not jealous over intellectual concepts or who you are. It's just not jealous. It really doesn't care. But it just loves you. And love is never jealous. Amen. And then this is a biggie. Love is never boastful nor conceited. And then it is never rude or selfish. Now, if you have faith in God, if you've taken the attitude of Jesus, this is what the result, this will be the evidence of your faith in God. If you're not walking in this, you've got no faith in God. If you're not patient with everyone. It's going to be very difficult, isn't it? Especially with a wife or a husband or children, your priest, a nun, your bishop. I've even heard rumblings of the bishop. How dare you, us, be rude toward the bishop? How dare us be rude to anyone, or selfish, or how about this, impatient? Well, I just want to take this thing myself, because you know. Now, this is really big, and I'm finished. We'll start here tomorrow night. So I know you're going to come back. Every one of y'all. Listen, if you're really interested in knowing what faith is and how to get into it, you won't miss a single session, because we're going to wear this book out. You're going to know how to operate in faith this week if you'll come. Faith, love, never take offense. You're not offended by anybody. Anybody get up here and make make something that's not right, it's okay. Somebody say something a little off color, it's all right. Somebody busts in front of you lying when you're eating?
That's okay.
You know, when you live forever, you ain't got no place to go to hell. And you're really not in a hurry, are you? If Jesus is God, then why should we be in a hurry? Love, folks, this is so big. And I thank God 13 years ago that this is what He put me in the very beginning of this ministry. Love never takes offense. I have never been offended by my church. The church leaders, I have never taken anything that's ever happened in offense. God did not call me to judge the church. He told me to love it. He told me to serve it. Because, you see, you're the church. And when I begin to do that, it says it is never resentful. Love takes no pleasure in other people's sins. You ought to have seen the people when Jimmy Baker fell from his position, the people that kowtowed, well, I knew he was no man of God. You know, just a big old man. Christians don't take delight in seeing people fall. That's a horror to us to see people stumble and fall. We delight in the truth. We don't delight in other people's sins. We don't delight in what they do to see them fall. We delight in the Word, in the truth, in the excitement of God. Amen? Come on, say amen.
Amen.
We delight in the truth. Amen?
Amen.
We delight in faith, in taking the attitude of Christ. Loving one another, not putting one another down. You husbands, start edifying your wife. Tell her how beautiful she is. Tell her how marvelous and grateful you are that God's allowed you the privilege to be with this unique one of a kind, original masterpiece. You wives, start calling your husbands sons of the Most High. Love you. They won't stop off in the bar at night with the boys. They'll come home to mama this edifying them and encouraging them, and start teaching your kids like that. Then you'll have to build a bigger house or they'll move in with you. You can't get rid of them. Lord Jesus, help us tonight. Help us tonight, Lord Jesus, to take on your mind, your attitude. Lord Jesus, help us tonight to enter into the reality of faith. Help us, Lord Jesus, to begin to look at one another as unique, marvelous creations. Help us, Lord Jesus, to establish in our minds your attitude, your disposition, your love. Help us, Lord Jesus, tonight to begin to look at one another the way you've looked at the whole world. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said,
amen.